In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a friend, a retired pastor, who when he was at the seminary back in the mid-70s, he wondered for a while, do I really want to be a pastor? So he decided that he was going to withdraw from the seminary and go out and make a living in the real world. And the first real-world job he got was that of a nighttime watchman. He writes in a book of his on pastoral ministry that real-world experience didn't last that long, that he was back at the seminary within a week. Why? Not because he's against the real world. He says simply that I could shoot straight, but I couldn't keep my eyes open all night. How many bucks are still roaming the north woods of Minnesota? How many keepers are still swimming 10,000 lakes, still free? How many game-winning plays were simply missed because a man, a woman, they couldn't keep their eyes open? Now, there's no real great harm done, is there, if your closed eyes miss that trophy buck, or you miss the keeper when it bites, or you miss the game-winning play, even if it's the World Series or the Super Bowl. But there are those areas of life where watching becomes critical. The safety authorities of our land tell us that when you go to Minneapolis Airport, you watch for any suspicious activity out there, that the health officials in our country tell us that when you go into a building and you don't think you can keep 6 feet between you, you need to have that mask on. You watch for that and you be ready. The Lord has blessed you with children. You know that you watch your children to see if there's any difference in behavior. And as I hear the introduction to your Advent series here of a beacon tonight, a beacon of warning, I remember as a child growing up on the shores of Saginaw Bay in Bay City, Michigan, there was that buoy that my dad called the spark plug. This massive buoy, a lighthouse of sorts. And if you were to the left of the spark plug, you were going to be fine because that meant you were in the channel of the Saginaw River, about 30 feet of water. If you were just to the right of that spark plug, you were going to run your boat into about 2 feet of mud right quick. Watching is critical. Watching is critical when it comes to the first Sunday of the new church year, that the Lord Jesus would use me to remind you, brothers and sisters, to keep watch, to keep your Advent eyes open. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming to you all over again this Christmas. Are you watching? Are you ready? Has your heart been cleaned and emptied of the world's clutter for Christ to come and make his home there? All over again this weekend, Jesus is coming to you, and the message of his good news, his word, and his supper. Are you watching by listening eagerly and gladly receiving all the gospel blessings that Jesus has to give you today? And on this first Sunday of the new year, we look to the end when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Are you watching and ready for that day when Christ will come like a flash of lightning from east to west? Are your Advent eyes open? Now, I can almost hear some of you thinking, how very Lutheran, how typical Wisconsin Synod in a year, 2020, that has had no shortages of heartbreaks and bummers to go around. When we finally start getting into the mood of the season just a little bit, here comes Professor What's-His-Face from a state over getting ready to proclaim a barn burner about Jesus coming again to judge the living and the dead. Can't we just for a moment have a little holly and ivy, tinsel, and some Christmas tunes, and for heaven's sakes, enjoy ourselves just a little bit? The answer is you can, But I hope you don't. I pray that you have your Advent eyes open, because if Christmas, brothers and sisters, is only about pretty lights in presents, then that means that Easter is about nothing but bunnies and bonnets. And soon the Christian faith becomes nothing but an excuse for us to coddle the sinful flesh and comfort ourselves with whatever we desire in life. Frankly, brothers and sisters, Advent is not a Lutheran thing. Advent is a Christian thing. As a matter of fact, it's an ancient Christian thing. That God's people were celebrating Advent 1,500 years before Wisconsin Synod Lutherans were ever invented, or a place by the name of Minnesota had ever been discovered. Jesus says, keep your Advent eyes open. Why? Because we always want to be prepared when God comes to his people. If Christmas is ever going to mean more to you and to me than pretty presents and some nice tunes of the season, then that means that we are going to get ready for Bethlehem by looking beyond Bethlehem, beyond the little kid and the cute factor there in the crib, beyond to the point where Jesus is now the King on the clouds, returning in glory and might with the saints and angels to judge the living and the dead. To look beyond Bethlehem, beyond shepherds, beyond wise men and stars, and see him who is the bright morning star. Because on that day, that great day, Jesus' birth for you and me here in time will make all the difference for eternity. I know how it is at this time of year. It's easy to have your eyes focused on Frosty and entertain those visions of sugar plum fairies dancing in your head. But God's word for us tonight would have a rather different figure there in our minds and in our heads. And that great figure of the scripture for us tonight is the figure of Noah. Now, if you've been to any craft shows like my mom, she loves Noah. She has her little wooden ark. We know who Noah is. He's that cute old man with the beard floating on the leaky barge with the cute giraffes and hippos and elephants sticking their head out the window. Just adorable. That's not the Noah of Scripture. This is. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Took them all away, puts it rather gently. We hear Jesus elsewhere from the book of Genesis, where every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, all mankind, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. And why did God come in such crashing, splashing, liquid judgment? Genesis tells us, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Do you know what was truly tragic about the judgment of the flood? It's this. It could have been avoided. Peter in his letter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, as that ark was being built, Noah was right there standing as a prophet from the Lord, a beacon of warning to the world of that day. Yet the people's lives went on, eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage. A man's got to live after all. And when we hear the roll call on the ark, when the flood began, 8 people in all family members of Noah, how well do you think Noah's preaching of repentance was received? Brothers and sisters, this is biblically true. Before God comes to judge, God in mercy gives his word of warning. Mankind, who will be judged, ignores the word of warning and is shocked when God comes to judge. Eating, drinking, marrying, given into marriage. Sounds kind of like today, doesn't it? It was a different year. I've gone shopping with my mom and my sister one time on a Black Friday. I told myself I will never do that again, as lines were literally around the store waiting to get in for some doorbuster deals. I didn't do that this year. I didn't see any lines around stores in COVID America this year. They didn't have to, because all the stores in Milwaukee, Wisconsin made Black Friday into a week-long event so you could go and shop till you drop, but you could be safe and socially distanced while you did that. How many of you here has ever seen a line at the church doors to get into church on Thanksgiving Day? How often people forget that there's church at all. COVID has indeed brought some people closer to the Lord as they have near brushes with death, but by and large, as I get around in Synod and talk to the brothers, they're telling me more and more often that more and more people are just kind of drifting away, that COVID's kind of become a good excuse to stay safe by staying away from the house of God, from God's people. Staying away from the word of truth. Staying away from the beacon of warning. Oh, sure, God still has some things to say about our relationships with other people and our possessions, but that's hard to listen to, and we then scratch our heads and wonder why Christmas just wasn't quite satisfying this year. We hear what God says on his word and about money and possessions, but in our affluent day and age, it's hard to listen to, but we wonder why in having so much, we just still kind of feel broke on the inside. We hear what God's word of warning says about letting sin be our master, but that's hard to listen to, and it's tough to practice. And who do we blame then when sin is my friend and my worst enemy all at the same time? We hear what God says about watching and Christ coming, and yet that's hard to listen to. And so we go back into our daily routines, hoping that we have a today, maybe a tomorrow, one more day, perhaps, to enjoy life as I like it and my sin as I know it. And then maybe tomorrow, someday, perhaps, just maybe, I'll get around to repenting if I feel like it. Why does Jesus tonight give you the word of warning to keep your Advent eyes open? It's not to scare the pants off you. It's to lead to your saving. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to true repentance. God is patient with you. He is patient with his people. He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. He wants to use you as his watchman to watch for opportunities to proclaim the message of his love, of peace on earth and goodwill to men, so that more might be brought to his saving side when he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Because this tonight, brothers and sisters, is a key truth for you. The scripture teaches that there are only and always two groups of people on face of planet Earth. And it's not Republicans and Democrats. And in our age of racial tension and identity politics, it's a message that we need to heed. The two groups of people are those who, one, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, and those who don't. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Keep your Advent eyes open for Christ to come. Keep them open always. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you will not expect him. Jesus says watch, and the word there means a continuous, non-stop watching. Jesus is earnest with his command that we would watch. Watch for the beacon of his warning. Why? Because it's easy to be complacent. I remember a long time ago, my vicar year, intern year at the seminary, my wife and I were spend that year in Benton Harbor, Michigan, the far southwest side of my home state. It also happens to be the crime and murder capital of my home state. And I remember moving down into the neighborhoods of Benton Harbor, right by the church, and the first time we heard a gunshot in the neighborhood, my wife came running upstairs and, all worried, looked at me and said, "Do we call the police?" And we did. And the police asked us if anyone was hurt. And we said, "Well, not that we know of." By the end of that year, we had literally heard hundreds of gunshots, to the point where you just stopped hearing them after a while. And we got to the point where our guard was so down right there in the middle of the murder and crime capital of my home state of Michigan that we would have been easy pickings for anyone that would do us ill. If that's dangerous when it comes to our physical safety, how dangerous is complacency when it comes to our spiritual well-being? Follow me. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, eventually downgraded to a force of evil in the world. Eventually downgraded to a source of naughtiness in my life. Eventually downgraded in the comics to a 10-pound weakling in red tights with a pitchfork, and downgraded by the intelligentsia of America into an old woman's folktale told around the fires to keep her grandchildren behaving themselves. Or think of how that happens with our sin, in how we can become complacent with sin. The sin that at first shocked us. I did what? I thought what? Well, eventually we can begin to rationalize it. And finally we can begin to defend it. And then before you know it, it's one of our reasons for living, and it's a right that I can do whatever I want to do in this land of the free. Brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Keep your Advent eyes open. Watch for the beacon of God's warning. Let the words of life be on your lips. Let the sounds of salvation be daily in your ears. Let your eyes be fixed on everything that is lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy in God's creation. Let your minds be focused on heavenly things and not on earthly things. And I say that, but I know that by ourselves, we can't do that. We might shoot straight, but we just can't keep our eyes open. By ourselves, if left to ourselves, we would have been treading water for a time in the waters of Noah's flood. By ourselves, only ourselves, we would not stand a snowball's chance of surviving the heat of Jesus' return. But I did not drive 5 hours today to tell you that you are going it alone in the face of Jesus' judgment. Instead, I came 5 hours to you tonight to remind you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is the answer to every Advent prayer. He came from heaven to earth, tented in our human flesh, wrapping himself up, not in gift paper with a bow, but wrapping himself up in your flesh and blood and bones to save you. He went toe-to-toe with that roaring lion seeking to devour him, toe-to-toe against temptation, and he never fell once, and he did it all for you. We've had our share of tears in the United States of America. Back home in Bay City, I've lost two uncles and an aunt to COVID in the last 4 weeks. But Jesus knows all about crying at funerals, doesn't he? And human aches and pains, and the feeling of rejection. Jesus knows all about the loneliness of quarantine, not in a comfortable living room, but as he hung all alone between heaven and earth upon the tree of the cross, and there he received not a diagnosis of positive with a virus, but there he received the crushing weight of his Father's wrath and the heat of his judgment and fury against all sin, our sin. He died so that we might live. And he lives again so that at that day of judgment you will never, ever die. He's more than a beacon of warning. He's the source of your saving. So that in joy, we as God's children look forward to that final day when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Think of that, brothers and sisters, that here tonight in God's house, we just join the long train of millions upon millions of saints throughout the ages that have looked with open eyes for Jesus to come again. We join with the millions upon millions through the ages to pray and to sing, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, captivum solve Israel, qui gemit in exilio privatus Dei filio. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. And Jesus has answered that prayer too. Jesus has come in humility, lying there in a feed trough in a barn, came to save. Still tonight, Jesus comes to you with the word of his forgiveness, all for you. And one day he will answer that prayer one final time when he comes at the end of the ages as the king upon the clouds to judge the living and the dead, yes, to take you, captive Israel, to the promised land that will never end. And there he will bless you with the joy the likes of which no Christmas has ever known. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.